the surprise cyclist. We did a story on him a little while ago when he got arrested. His whole shtick was he would ride his bicycle and swerve into traffic and then swerve out of traffic, hopefully not getting hit. But he was causing a lot of difficulty, stress, danger for drivers. He was arrested for his reckless driving. He's in court now. He claims that it was never his intent to block traffic. So I find that confusing because there's video of him, multiple videos of him swerving into oncoming traffic and swerving out of the way at the last minute. So I guess if you are going by the absolute letter of what he's saying, if you're going by the definitive words that came out of his mouth, he wasn't blocking traffic. He was trying to swerve into traffic and then swerve out of traffic at the last minute. So that's not blocking traffic. So maybe in this very technical sense, he's telling the truth. He is recklessly driving. He's maybe obstructing the flow of traffic because the drivers have to be more careful. They're hitting their brakes. They're doing dangerous maneuvers in the hopes of not hitting the cyclist. This started back in 2019. And he was wearing like a black hat and sunglasses and a mask, so it was very hard to identify him. There are multiple videos that went online of this guy just driving, riding his bicycle sort of insanely in and out of traffic. He was caught in April 2024. Now he's on trial. When asked if the charges were accurate, I think this might be his whole defense, is technicalities. It says I was going 19 kilometers an hour, but I wasn't going that fast. I'm wondering if his bike had a speedometer. Because if you were going to be technical with other people, like the technicality is that they're saying I went 19 kilometers an hour and I'm saying I didn't go that fast. Is there any way for me to measure, for me to know that I was going less than 19 kilometers an hour? And when he says I wasn't going that fast, does he mean 18.5? Does he mean 17? Because again, he seems to be working on technicalities, not actually, you know, was I following the rules of the road? Was I riding my bike in an appropriate manner? Was I not being dangerous? He then said, I wasn't driving in a way that would harm others. And again, I think this might be technically true. He was riding in a way that if he collided with a van or a car or a truck or something, he would be the injured party. The person in the car would not be harmed. He would be slammed into a 2-ton car. So you can see, like, in a way, he is telling the truth. I was not driving a way that would harm other people. I was driving a way that would harm me if there was an accident. And I was causing danger in that, again, these drivers, the people on the road, were having to do their best to avoid me, having to drive in a more erratic fashion themselves, and maybe endangering other people. So there might be like a butterfly effect. Like he causes a minivan to swerve. It swerves into a car that swerves into another thing and then hits some people or causes a crash. And that injures people. And then other cars are coming too fast and they hit them. A pileup, let's say. That is his fault when, if you're going to be very technical, he didn't cause that accident. He caused the initial thing that caused something that happened that caused a domino effect down the road. He's primarily a danger to himself and quite obviously not a very good lawyer. A 26-year-old was arrested for making his car look like a police car. This story came up before. He had his car painted in the black and white police colors and he had like an emblem put on it. The police here have very distinctive looking cars. But that wasn't enough. He's already gotten in trouble for that. This is actually like the second charge in this whole story. Having the car look like a police car wasn't enough. He needed more. He needed more of that sort of visceral realism that he was trying to live. So he had someone add a red light to the car. Now red lights in Japan, I'm pretty sure this is probably true in most countries. Red flashing lights on your vehicle are reserved for like emergency vehicles, police and ambulance and whatnot. Some of his other charges were using a fake police ID. So he had like a badge and an ID that said he was part of the Osaka police, that said he was part of the Osaka Police Department. He has unauthorized use of official marks. So again, he put these official markings on his car to make his car look like it was a police vehicle. What was he doing though? And that's actually was, again, sort of the interesting part. He was patrolling the area. So not necessarily always the same place. He would go around to different places and he would do patrols. He pulled people over and he took their information and he would like stop and talk to people and take their information. So he was performing police duties in a way, but in a completely unofficial capacity. He said, I wanted to experience how it's like to drive with the emergency lights on. There's a secondary issue there though. So like I am a foreign person living in Japan. And there's a lot of stories that go around about foreign people getting stopped by the police, and they check your identification. And this is perfectly legal in Japan. If I'm a foreign person, I'm walking around in Japan, I'm supposed to have my residence card with me to say my visa status so that you know I'm not an illegal alien. So them stopping and saying, we'd like to look at your identification, perfectly legal, I cannot deny it. But what if I'm in a situation where I don't think you're a real cop? And then he pulls out his badge and I'm like, well, yeah, but I know I've seen a story where someone has faked that badge and the identification. So I still don't think you're a real cop. What point do we get to where we actually have to believe that cops are cops and we believe in their authority? Because if this guy stops me and asks for my ID, it's perfectly within my rights to say no, because he's not a real cop. But how do I know he's not a real cop? He has the identification. He has the badge. He has a car that looks like a cop car. What do I do in that situation? I don't have an answer. And it would be interesting to see if anyone does have an answer. At what point, when you're suspicious that a police officer is not a police officer, are you within your rights to start denying their requests? But if this guy rolls up in his patrol car, painted like a patrol car, then he gets out of his patrol car, I'm assuming he had a police uniform of some sort, and then flashes a badge at me and says, I want to see your identification. But there's something just like off about him, and I go, no. If it's a real cop, I'm going to get arrested. So you kind of have to submit. And this guy, this is the abuse of power aspect of it. But how much trouble should he get into? Because we know he stopped multiple people. We know he's taken the personal information of multiple people. We know he's interfered with people's day-to-day lives. That seems significant and something he should be significantly punished for. But he also hasn't hurt anybody. That's the bit I'm most confused by. This would be interesting to get a lawyer, a judge to weigh in on what would be an appropriate punishment. No one was personally hurt. We don't know if he abused the personal information, but we know he did interfere with sort of the ongoing of everyone's lives. And he diminished the authority of the police department overall, because when I meet a police officer, may be more suspicious that that is a real police officer. And then if I actually get arrested because I think this guy's not a real cop, what happens then? Am I in the wrong for denying someone who I think is not a police officer my information?
Hello.
The quiz today, we have kind of a creepy dude, which is a very common theme in Japanese news. This young man is 25 years old, and he's out in the street, and he decides he wants to hit on girls. And so he introduces himself by asking for directions, which is not particularly creepy. But then which of the following do you think he did? So this is where you get to ask me questions and stuff. So we have three choices. A, he asks for directions to a love hotel specifically. B, he says, hey, I think you have bird poop in your hair. Or C, can I take pictures of your feet? So you can ask me some questions. Yeah, this is Japan. You can ask me some questions. One is correct, one is true, and the other two I've made up. So I have to fill in the blanks myself. This is like an improv exercise.
Where is this?
This was in Tokyo. He was basically trying to find ways to talk to girls to get more involved with women. He clearly does not have what we would call game. And he's very awkward. So he would go up and say, I actually have to admit, when I came to Japan, I would talk to girls by asking for directions, but if they didn't seem interested, I would just leave. I think that's where I stopped being creepy. But he had to take it to the next step, and he had to be like, hey.
This is what do they call it here? Nampa?
Nampa. Nampa is the picking people up. But the Nampa guys, there's kind of two versions. There's just regular Nampa, which would be normal people just hitting on people. Then there's the Nampa where it's a guy who would stand in the station, and they always have these terrible suits on, they're kind of ill-fitting. And then they talk to every single girl that walks by, and they almost, it's basically a step below harassment. They're walking with their face in the girl's face, and she's usually trying to look away from him, and then he's just talking at her, and then she runs away.
So is he doing either of those versions of Nampa?
So this guy, I would say he's hit a middle ground, because he's asking for directions, which I don't think is too bad. You can tell if the girl doesn't want to give you directions and just walks away, you just let her go. This is where he made his mistake, is he did not want to let them go if they were not interested in speaking to him. So he'd be like, hey, where's this place? Oh, I have a secondary follow-up thing in the hopes of engaging with her further.
Okay, then maybe it could be B.
Oh,
if he wants to pick them.
Ah, so what do you think happens next? So like he says, "Hey, you have bird poop in your hair." We don't, this is
And then,
speculation now, so we have no idea what he actually did.
so if that did occur, maybe she would freak out and be like, "Oh, where do you have a tissue?"
Ah,
And then she would be like,
initiating.
"I don't, but if you come into this convenience store with me or this little, I don't know, fast food place, I can get you a tissue." And it kind
Ah,
of
he could be the
gets her to
hero.
go with him.
Yes, he could be the
He could be
hero and save the day. That's actually pretty good strategy. I'm not going to do it, but yeah, so that makes sense. What do you think about the aggressive tactic of, can you give me directions to a love hotel?
I guess it would depend, right? Because like if he approaches someone who is very naive, maybe they would genuinely think he needs directions.
And then he's like, can you
Approaching
walk me
someone who's
there?
not so naive,
Yeah.
yeah, can you walk me there? Ooh.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is it. A guy working at that level of social awareness, he's going to think that's a really smooth move and not realize, like, dude, that is gross.
Yeah, he's tipping his fedora.
I wonder what the
That
Japanese
also
version of
sounds
that
really
is.
plausible. What?
Well, there's so we have the neck beard fedora wearing guy in North America. I don't know what the
Yeah.
Japanese version of that is. It must just be like the otaku guy. But
Maybe.
they're
But
different.
it just means that you have like a obsessive interest in like any field, right?
Yeah. Otaku just means like super fan. So, like, I could be an otaku, a game otaku, because I play a lot of video games. I could be a judo otaku because I love judo so much. But I don't think I crossed the line into being creepy or off-putting, which
In
they
Japan,
do.
otaku like generally looked at as maybe a little weird.
Yeah, because their obsession goes to another level, and then they're also usually obsessed with like the trains or the idol groups or anime. And they have low social awareness, I think would be a pretty standard aspect of the definition.
Okay, so maybe it is the neckbeard equivalent.
Yeah. I think the problem with neckbeards is they think they're smooth. Like it's that lack of self-awareness. Like tipping your fedora and going, "M'lady," is not cool, and they don't realize that's not cool.
So, I used to go to a lot of anime conventions when I lived in North America, and I would say most people acted like relatively socially aware, but there were people who genuinely thought they were smooth or they were like kind of being the hero, like a white knight. And that's how they acted. And they would also speak what they were doing out loud. They would like narrate themselves.
Like, I'm coming up to you now. Or was that like, because I've seen that in chats. I've never done it, but I've seen in chats where he's like, and then I, bite my lip. Like role playing
Yeah,
almost.
it's kind of like very similar to like role playing in a chat.
Okay. That seems very off-putting to me.
Yeah, but again, like these a lot of people are not socially aware because they're like chronically online.
Yeah, that's that. This is the feedback loop of the internet that's actually going to ruin a lot of society, is because they meet other guys who think that's cool as well, and then they get like reinforced. Like, yeah, it is cool. It's like, dude, no, it's
Yeah, it's
not.
an echo chamber.
Yeah. Okay, let's choose one. So, A, ask for directions and then get directions to a love hotel. B, oh, you have some bird poop in your hair. Or C, can I take pictures of your feet? Which do you think it is?
I think after we spoke, it could be A, because it's pretty plausible for someone to be like, "Where's the love hotel? Can you bring me there?" But B made sense to me because that's like plausible story in my brain, but not everybody who's socially aware could probably think of that story
Yeah.
to like, this is a good idea, I'm gonna do this. Maybe C is too straightforward.
C is pretty
So,
aggressive. You have
yeah,
to be pretty confident in yourself.
I'm gonna say A.
Okay, it was B.
It was
He,
B.
yeah, so what he would do is he'd stop the woman and ask for directions. And then while talking, he would squirt some glue into her hair and then tell her that maybe a bird pooped on her. They never, in the stories, I tried to find more stories, but they only give so many details. They never said how he thought that would be successful. And then he's said to have done it about 10 times. Because he's squirting stuff into their hair that's sticky, and they would have to like literally probably cut their hair to get it out. That's now assault. So he has 10 assault charges pressed against him.
Oh my God.
I know, it is so insane. And I don't actually see how that works. Like, hey, I didn't understand it until you actually said what you said, which was then he could be like, oh, let me get you some tissues, let me help you clean up or something. But it sounds like that was still wasn't successful.
Did the girls, were they aware that he was putting glue in their hair? Like,
No,
was he somehow being sly or not sly?
it seems like he would be like, maybe check on my phone or show me something. And then when they're looking at that with his other hand, he had like a squirt thing and he would squirt some stuff and you go, oh my God, look, you got some bird poop. I just don't see that as an opener.
That's a pretty desperate move.
It is. It is. This is someone who spent way too much time thinking about the plan and not thinking about would this plan work?
No execution. He's just like,
Yep.
this is definitely gonna work.
So you want kids to be interested in sort of the world around them. You want your kids in your class to get experience with all kinds of things. So one of the things that's good for students to know is how the world works, politics. So let's take the kids out to like a session where politicians are, discussing the needs of the people and the issues of the day and trying to make policy decisions that are going to impact you, perhaps for the rest of your life. Well, they did that. They took them on a field trip and they got to see a session. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than watching 73-year-old politicians in political discussion. The only thing maybe more fun than that is catching a 73-year-old politician in a session, supposedly doing his job, playing a video game on his phone. So none of the kids said anything. But what happened is when you go back from your field trip, you have to make like an activity out of it. The school has to make you do something. So you do something, that's something you do is you write a report. And they wrote a report, and multiple children wrote about how they saw this politician in session playing a video game on his phone. So then that, of course, the teachers were like, well, that's not cool. That's not giving the students the impression they should be getting from someone who's supposed to be like a political leader. So they sent a message back and they're like, hey, it seems like this guy was playing games on his phone when he should have been doing his job and has given a really bad impression to the kids. Politician then has to go on television and apologize, which is awesome. And he said, he apologized for giving children bad memories of their field trip, which I sort of disagree with because I think for like an 8-year-old, getting a 73-year-old politician to go on TV and apologize to you would actually be one of the best days ever. This story took over my news feed for a couple of days. 14 kids were taken to hospital after eating super spicy chips. So some kid got a bag of these super. I remember the one chip challenge. It was like this big Dorito looking thing and it was black and it was just covered in all kinds of like spicy stuff. And you would eat it. And they would actually said like people were having like heart palpitations and stuff. It was so hot. It was really causing people actual physical damage. Similar chips still exist. I actually think that one's been taken off the market because it has caused problems multiple times and they got sued. Within it, I believe it actually had a waiver that maybe you had to sign, but of course, no one's forcing you to sign it. So maybe you didn't sign it, but that would leave the company open to getting sued. So they're saying, like, kids shouldn't eat this. Well, some kid got his hands on a bag of very, very spicy chips. He gave them to 30 people, 13 girls and one boy. I was wondering if he was giving them. So he gave them to 30 people. I think maybe just more of the boys didn't admit it because that's kind of like a boy thing to do. But 13 girls and one boy felt nausea, had stomach aches. Certainly mouth pain, and they were taken to hospital. So 14 kids out of 30 tried this chip and were taken to hospital as a result. It is labeled as 18 plus curry chips. So 18 plus, they're saying you have to be an adult, you have to be over 18 years old to buy and eat this chip. But of course, everyone thinks that's just a marketing ploy. That's not enforceable. You go to 7-Eleven or whatever, you get the 18 plus curry chip, you take it to the counter. The person behind the counter, they don't look at it. They're not looking at it. Does it say 18 plus? They flip it over, get the barcode, scan it, and off you go. If it was something like alcohol or something, there's actually a button you have to push on the register to say that you are actually an adult and you can buy cigarettes and you can buy alcohol. Chips don't fall under that same category yet. This being Japan and this many kids going to hospital because of this, I actually could see that happening. On the chip maker's website, it says it forbids, the chip maker forbids anyone under the 18 years old from eating them. Because every time I buy a bag of chips, I then go to the chip maker website to see if it's acceptable for me to eat those chips. That's just a really normal thing that happens in the world. Reason, so the spiciness factor of this is this contained jolokia, which is 200 times hotter than Tabasco sauce. And these are Japanese kids. And there's a very good chance that a lot of these Japanese kids have never actually eaten any spicy food. Japanese food is not particularly spicy. So Tabasco sauce is already very hot. Sriracha is already very hot for Japanese people. They have Japanese versions, which are toned down versions. It's very Freudian all of a sudden. Toned down versions of these hot sauces that you can put on. And they're still good. I actually don't like things to be excessively spicy myself, but I do enjoy slightly spicy food. I don't think the spice factor should overwhelm the actual flavor of the food. When you do that, you're actually, there's no point in eating the food anymore. You might as well just ingest the spice. So a chip like this that is so hot you don't taste any chip or anything other than the spice, I'm thinking it would be more efficient to just put the spice directly in your mouth and then like talk about how much of a man you are. But kids do got to be careful. When the chip company did say, like, this is not for kids. There's tons of warnings on the bag. This is spicy stuff. They did it to themselves. I don't have a lot of sympathy for them. So we have a shoe thief. We haven't done a lot of these people who steal tons and tons of stuff lately. And it's because there's nothing to be said that I haven't said before. It's not like I'm against these stories or I'm going to stop these stories. But the reality is, I say it so many times, I get bored of it. But this was, again, a significant number. And this guy had a whole thing. This man was accused of stealing 29 pairs of indoor shoes from an elementary school. So it's Japan, so you can't walk around in the building with your outside shoes on. So kids, when they go to school, they have their outside shoes. They come in, they change into their inside shoes, and then they walk around the building, they go to class. I would think this would be really normal for gyms. Like, you have outside shoes, and then you change them into your gym shoes that are clean, and you go around your gym wearing your gym shoes. You don't want to bring the outside stuff inside, and vice versa. You take your inside shoes off when you're about to leave, and you put on your outside shoes and then you leave. So this was not a weird thing that there are inside shoes. They're really hefty slippers, just because kids, they're going to wear through them. They're going to run around. They're going to be psychotic. He was caught stealing 29 pairs of these kids' indoor shoes. They of course then searched his residence and they found 4,000 pairs of shoes in his house. They were like, what are you doing with these shoes? This is always the bit that I'm always like, because creepy dude stealing creepy stuff, I assume they're doing creepy things with them. I mean, it's sometimes good they don't say what they're doing, but at the same time, it's like, well, I do kind of want to know what they're doing with them. Just so that I can have like, is this a dirty thing? Is it a pervy thing? This guy sold between 4,000 to 5,000 pairs as used goods on the internet. So he actually seems like he wasn't doing creepy stuff. He was stealing shoes from the school, going home, putting them on Mercari or some other like Yahoo auctions or something, and selling them as secondhand goods. Like, oh, my children have worn out their shoes. They don't need them anymore. They're still a good pair. I'll sell them to you. And that's a way he was making money. So this guy may not be pervy. My concern is that he was selling it to pervy people. People on like a website like Mercari were probably not buying it for pervy purposes. They were like, oh, a cheap pair of shoes. My kid needs new shoes. Let's buy those shoes. He denies the allegation of theft. So we've discovered 4,000 pairs of shoes in your apartment. You've been selling those shoes online. We caught you stealing 29 pairs of shoes, probably to replenish your stock. Do you want to admit to stealing those shoes? And he's like, no, never stole anything. Now, I have a lot of respect for that as a criminal, because the denial means the police have to do their job. And there could be a mistake made on the way, and you might get away with this. It would be in his best interest to stop stealing shoes, because now he has that accusation in the past and that doesn't go away. If he gets off, and I'm hoping he doesn't, it would be in his best interest to shift to some other thing to steal or try another form of crime, which is always one of the mistakes that criminals make, is they always go back and do the thing they know, which is the thing they've been caught for, which the police then find it more easy to catch you for in the future.